At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I feel like we've talked about Transformers before. I don't even...
We did. Yeah, we did. We've only done one other Transformers movie, though, right?
Yeah, the minority one.
Yes. Unless one came out...
Ray.
It's certainly the minority.
It is definitely... it's a Dominican.
Come on, man.
It's a Dominican, a black woman, directed by a black dude in the Bronx.
And Nas did the music or something.
Come on, man.
Right? You knew which one he was talking. The thing is, you knew which one he was talking about.
Yeah, of course I knew. Because he knew it was the black one.
Yeah.
James Heaton, I'm not doing this with Bray. Bray knew what the black one meant.
Or the minority
one. Sorry, you knew what it was. They had less money than the rest of them. Okay?
Is that right?
Yeah, it actually did. They had, but I do think that director was very creative with how he did it because, you know, they had less money. What could he do?
They are finally, they did green light or say that they're going to make the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover finally, right?
Like, they actually are going to do it?
I think I saw, now if you don't know, then I feel like maybe I'm making up a fact, but.
I mean, are they not going to do a sequel to Transformers Rise of the Beasts?
I would have thought they would have said that first before, you know what I mean? I would have thought we would have seen like this is coming out and that, but the only thing I've seen is they're finally doing a this, but I'm now like there's been some distance since I even saw that article. So who knows? That could have been a rumor.
If the other one did well. Like that's the thing is, I don't know if it
Rise
did.
Of the Beast. I thought it did okay.
But I don't know if it did enough to.
I think some of the best Transformers movies weren't seen by people. Like I liked Transformers 5.
Which one is that one, James?
That's Age of Extinction?
No, Age of Extinction is terrible.
Because I was about to say, I was like.
The one that comes right after that is like not bad.
The Last Night.
The one with Merlin. Yeah,
Wait. You're telling me there's one with Merlin?
Bro, that one, you think that one is not bad?
In terms of like a story compared to some of the other Transformers movies, it's just a better story. Like it's a more compact, it's a more contained story.
Hey guys, wait. So just so I take it back. Are we saying there's a Transformers with Merlin the wizard?
Yes. And the dragons are Transformers, to be clear.
Is Merlin a Transformer?
No, Merlin is played by Stanley Tucci, who was also in Age of Extinction, but as a different character.
They're both Mark Wahlberg films.
Yes.
Mark Wahlberg is in that one?
Yeah, that's he's in that one and Age of Extinction.
Is that the one where he has like the daughter who is clearly underage, but like the guy's dating his daughter?
That's Age of Extinction.
Okay. Yeah.
And TJ Miller's in it, but then he I think dies?
Yeah, he gets turned into molten, like a molten statue.
It was very shocking.
Yeah.
All right.
So, okay. Rise of the Beast grossed $441 million.
Okay. Out of a what budget?
What was the budget?
$200
million. Okay. So, it probably broke even with marketing.
Yeah. I must say, marketing, it probably definitely broke even. What sucks about that kind of stuff is that if we literally lived in a day and age of DVDs and stuff, that movie could have been a hit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous that it's like, it didn't gross $1 billion. It sucks, you know. Also, look at this. Yeah, Bumblebee grossed $468 million, which is technically less, but Bumblebee was also only made for $135 million.
I think the movie we're about to watch is considered a bomb. It only made $129.
I have only heard good things about Transformers 1, and it bombed?
So, I mean, I agree, James. I've only heard good things about this. I've only heard good things, but I'm looking at it in $129 million.
Wow.
I mean...
You know, this is something we're supposed to talk about after.
No, I'm just, you know, we're going to bring it up again. I'm just letting people know.
Yeah, we'll talk about it again.
This money is crazy.
I don't know what we could talk about otherwise, though, right now.
No, we've talked about all of them except for Transformers 1.
All right.
Oh, sorry. No. I didn't mean this movie. I meant the first. You know what I meant.
Yeah, you mean the one with you mean the first one.
I meant the Michael Bay, Shia LaBeouf, you mean Transformers. Megan Fox. Yeah, I meant Transformers 1. Like,
no, it's not Transformers. Well, not the
first one. You know what I mean. The first one. Yeah. Right? I actually think one wasn't.
Oh, my goodness.
But, like, that one has one of my favorite lines, Tyrese going. Left cheek.
I hate it.
That movie is crazy, but I kind of like Transformers 1.
Yeah.
We should probably just start the show.
Jonathan Raylock,
James the Third,
Drum Milligan, Jamie McGinn.
The moon one is The Dark of the Moon. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, which Dark of the Moon. I like that one. It's not good, but I like it.
Guys, none of them are good.
Which one is the one that had the gigantic testicles? Remember?
That's Revenge of the Fallen. Ooh, that is one. That I think everyone can agree that is the worst one.
Age of Extinction is the worst one, but not everybody saw it.
But Revenge of the Fallen is so bad. There's
Shia LaBeouf still in that one?
Yes.
Got it. Megan Fox isn't, though.
No, she's in that one, too.
Oh.
The one she's not in is Dark of the Moon, but it's still
Dark of the Moon. That's when they replaced her with Rosie.
Only problems, in my opinion, is Megan Fox not in it and Tyrese doesn't show up until the last, like, 40 minutes. Those are the problems.
Your problem is Tyrese doesn't show up in the movie?
Yes,
he's good in Transformers.
He's good in Transformers.
No, he doesn't.
Keep on it. This is in the podcast. I know we ain't starting yet.
I'm not dragging Tyrese. Tyrese goes through enough. Okay. I just am shocked at the two of you. All right. The two of yous.
All right.
Get my jersey on.
Okay.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I am Megatron.
Honestly, makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
There was probably some better lines, but I forgot that I do this.
I guess that one made sense. I thought you were gonna do. I have knife hands.
Oh yeah, that's good. Wait, there was another one.
Keegan-Michael Key.
He had a bunch. Keegan-Michael Key had a bunch. He was giving him lines, but. I didn't notice this until Kat pointed it out, but one of the robots was named A-A-Tron.
I noticed that.
You're joking.
I fully missed it. I paused
it. They did underplay it as much as they could.
I was like watching. So I was like half watching. I paused it, and then Kat was like, A-A-Tron. And I was like, what do you, and then...
Really?
I just didn't hear it.
I thought that was a fun little Easter egg for all the Key and Peele heads.
Yeah, that's cool. Actually pretty funny to me. I'm not gonna lie to you. I watched, but we'll talk about it.
Hey, Atron and Steve. Steve. Yeah, he's foreign.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was good.
I also don't understand some of the logic of their world, but Brain. Okay. Well, I guess Brain. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we have to.
Anyway, first of all, Happy New Year, everyone. I know last week's episode.
Yeah, came out.
But was that wasn't public? So Happy New Year to our public listeners.
That's right. Hello, public listeners. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. If you're checking us out for the first time, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. Mm-hmm. We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors, and we discuss them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Now, I know what you might be saying. Isn't Chris Hemsworth the lead of this movie? Yes, technically, you are correct.
No, they're double billed. I checked.
They're both on the poster.
They share billing. The two of them, I checked, they share billing. And even when they were doing a lot of the press, it's all double handers.
Okay. So Brian Tyree Henry obviously plays.
Sir.
D16.
Do Americans have a knighting? Like, do we have a
no, we don't knight
sir,
anybody.
Madam? Brother.
We do give medals of the Medal of Freedom, right?
Is that the Presidential Medal of Freedom? Shout out to Denzilly.
Closest thing we get.
Denzilly.
This movie stars Brian Tyree Henry, Chris Hemsworth, Keegan-Michael Key, Scarlett Johansson, with appearances by John Hamm, Steve Buscemi, Lawrence Fishburne. Pretty stacked cast, as it were, for this film, animated film. Oh, wait, have I said what we were doing? We're doing Transformers 1.
Yes.
Also, I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce ourselves. There's three of us.
Why'd you laugh like that? What's going on?
No, I just, anyway, I just want them to know, because we have distinctive voices. So if you don't know who this is by now, just picture someone who is really fun.
Oh, God.
You know, outgoing, maybe talks a lot, but like, ultimately, he's kind of your favorite, even if he's not, you know.
Are you making yourself the Keegan-Michael Key character in it?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the voice of Jonathan Braylock.
Honestly, I'm shocked that's what you went for. Okay.
I think it does actually make maybe the most sense.
What's sad about this is that if I was to say that this voice would be a Megatron type voice, it would make sense because he started off good and he just went to the extreme. You know what I mean? He got blinded. He got blinded by the light, but technically his intentions were in the right place. But this is my thing, okay? Think about Megatron, all right? I'm not saying Megatron was right, okay?
Okay.
I'm just saying Megatron was lied to.
Right.
In prison.
And so his Megatron voice is?
No, I'm not saying I have the Megatron voice.
I'm saying,
but if somebody was to side with Megatron, all he was saying was we have been imprisoned, lied to, swindled, used for fodder, and I don't want to stand for that for my people no more. Is that wrong? Is that wrong? The voice that may agree with that is Gerard Milligan. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, and this voice is James III, but I'm going to quickly say that I have never agreed with anybody more than somebody who only was just following the rules and thinking that all you have to do is follow the rules to get ahead. And then second you get any amount of power, you flipping out. I've never identified with a character more than D16 in this movie. Truly never. Anyway.
I get that.
We are reviewing Transformers 1. This film, when did this film come out?
Summer?
Well, it came out 2024. Yeah, summer.
It was last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no. September 20th.
No way.
Yeah, September.
Wow, I thought it was summertime.
No, it was fall. Right. September is not that long ago.
No, yeah. It's not. Why did this feel like it was like... so long ago.
So that, I mean, it coming out in September, I mean, what did they want this movie to do box office wise?
I don't know. September's so weird.
They messed up. All the kids in school. The kids is in school. Okay, so who are you expecting to get during the day?
This one got a callback lead, so they was like, summertime? You thought September.
But, you know, I know that Transformers has... you know, like deep into adulthood audience because of when it originally came out. But like, you gotta bank on kids seeing this movie. Like,
exactly. This is a kid movie. This
what are they doing?
Animated. Like, this movie was for kids, and then they literally released it at the start of school. That's like
ridiculous.
The hardest time for kids to see movies.
Ridiculous.
Kids are like, I want to see this movie. Their parents are like, you have homework now. Yeah. We're not seeing this movie.
The start of school? The start of school is what's getting me.
Exactly. September's
ridiculous.
All right. So this movie grossed $24 million opening weekend. It wound up grossing $59 million domestic, $70 international for a worldwide total of $129.
That's not great.
Which is not great. The budget apparently was around $75 million, according to Wikipedia, which we can't necessarily trust, but we also have no other thing to go on. That being said, this was very well reviewed. 89%. 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. 97% popcorn meter. Remember?
Yes.
It's changed from audience score to popcorn meter.
I don't believe in that anymore. I don't understand them. I don't believe in
what
it.
I don't even get it. I don't even get it, James.
I'm over them.
Tomatoes for the okay. Well, the critics are gonna throw tomatoes, but the audience is gonna eat the popcorn.
Bro, I don't care.
I guess so.
They haven't even figured out a way to like stop like toxic fanboys from like whatever. I don't care about them. I'm done.
But
I'm
is
done
the popcorn meter now. So good for them.
Right.
Oh, there's a verified hot audience badge now.
What does that mean? Like, meaning like you are a real audience person? Is that what it means?
You know how it's like certified fresh if it's over 60% on Rotten Tomatoes? Now it's verified hot if you're over a certain percentage on the popcorn meter.
Verified hot.
I don't like this.
What?
I don't like this at all.
Verified hot? I need it like nice and buttery. No. Nice and buttery.
Stop saying it like that.
I need
this,
it.
This movie nice is and buttery. Nice and buttery.
Nice
and buttery.
Nice. That sounds so nasty.
I'm just imagining a trailer voice saying that about the movie. And this movie is nice and buttery on Rotten Tomato.
Honestly, right. Great. Now it sounds better. Now it sounds better. I mean, this movie, look. Where do we start? Let me see. Did you already say the cast? Yeah, you said the cast. Box Office Mojo said that's the exact. It like 59 million in America is bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Shall we? There's nothing else to say, right? I don't even know why we're saying prequel because it's animated, so it's not.
But it is a prequel, though.
Yeah, it is a prequel.
I guess it is connected to the live action films.
Yeah, to an extent, Sentinel is in the live action films and revered, so it doesn't directly connect, but revered until he switches and turns bad. But I think weren't they a part of the original? Didn't they work on the original?
Yeah, but
I'll check that.
But we never saw Sentinel in there, right?
Well, no, we do. Sentinel is in
which movies?
Is either in Dark, is either in Revenge of the Fallen or.
That's the one that goes bad.
Yeah, he goes bad, but we think that he's like he's a great prime, you know.
Right.
But this, you know,
I don't remember the plot of any of those.
Right. Yeah. So one of them, he's the big bad. He ends up being the big bad. So it doesn't directly connect.
I don't think that's the Fallen though, because the Revenge of the Fallen, there was a Transformer called the Fallen, and he was the big bad.
Then Sentinel is
and he could teleport. And they never explained why. I just remember. So there's like certain things that I remember, and I just remember being like, "Wait, this Transformers can teleport?"
Yes, he
what?
Can.
And they were like, "Yeah." And his name is the Fallen, so it's Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh my gosh,
the guy's name.
Well, the one that could teleport was the other guy, though. He was the guy who used to be a Decepticon.
Oh, I see.
Switched to the.
Why? And this is a question I'm not sure anyone asks or knows. If they're on a planet with other robots, why do they transform into cars and planes?
Okay. This podcast is sponsored by Prize Picks. Ooh. Guys, the NFL playoff time is here. It's playoff time and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football action with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the playoffs.
You can now win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks.
Ooh-wee. Prize Picks now offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account for sports season.
If you sign up today, you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday or Flex Friday, which I've done a couple times. You know, it's a nice little way to spice up the games, make it a little more interesting, if you know what I mean?
Yep, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. Which players are going off, which ones aren't, and make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks.
Download the app today and use code HOLLYWOOD to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the app today and use code HOLLYWOOD to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Prize Picks. Run your game. They gave me that line. I didn't make it
That's
up.
Why That's, sounded real. That's, That's why I sounded better. That's why I sounded better.
Okay.
That sounded good.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's do initial thoughts. That's about this movie.
So I'll go first. I watched this movie today. I do not remember anything. I watched it. I watched it today. Literally.
Do not remember anything?
Literally?
That's not fair. Yo, I don't think this movie deserves that.
No. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I watched it. I was excited to watch it. I watched it at my friend's house on a projector. Hype. I remember three particular things that happened. I remember the opening sequence. I remember when they somehow get Scarlett Johansson and Keegan-Michael Key, and now they're like looking, like they're in there with the old robot. Like, I remember that part. What happened in between? Not going to lie to you. Don't remember the race. They referenced the race. Don't remember no race. Okay?
Yeah. Don't remember the race.
The race was fun, I thought.
Right, so I remember this. I remember this section with the big reveal. The big reveal. What's so funny is I was doing nothing else. Like, normally I have like my laptop out. I wasn't at home. So all I could do was watch this. Then I remember the end. And then by the time it got to the end, by the time we see like Starscream and stuff, I was like, when did Megatron get so evil? You know what I mean? I was like, what? So this movie's going to be a lot of fill in the blanks for me. You know what I mean? A lot of fill in the blanks.
I will go next just because I will just say that, like, I think this movie has a strong first act, a really just a dynamite third act, and a really bizarre, like, act two. I'm just sort of like, what? I think this movie's good, and I think even some of the stuff that happens in act two is solid, but I'm not as on board with like the transition that happens for the character, and that's when that is happening, like that's when we're sort of seeing how we're sort of seeing D16 get radicalized and stuff. And also like with some of Alita's stuff, I don't know. Like I was like pissed at Optimus the whole movie. I was like, you failing upwards. And so when he's like, I'm tired of saving you. I was like, I feel that I think that makes sense, but I didn't like, when they were first kind of giving him those moments of transitioning, it just didn't quite, that wasn't quite vibing with me. But I think this is a good, I think this is a strong movie. I get the praise that it got. I thought it was a lot of fun. I really loved Keegan-Michael Key. And I thought Scarlett, I love that, like, ScarJo, everything I've seen her in post-Marvel is, like, she's just having fun. Like, she's just like, I'm having fun.
Don't forget she got that Marvel payout when she
sued. Oh, that's right. That's right. They paid her out.
She won't. We can do whatever she wants.
Good for her.
I ain't mad at
it. But that's it. That's all I have to say.
All right. I think there are a lot of fans of this movie. Makes sense. It's a fun movie. You know, especially if you're, like, really into Transformers. I do think, like, Transformers was always, like, kind of fun. Like, I watched Beast Wars when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch, like, the OG cartoon too much, though I have seen the original cartoon movie. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's, like, Transformers was always, like, I wasn't, like, super into them. I don't know if kids are now. Yeah, I thought the movie was, like, was good. It had some interesting stuff. I mean, it's always hard to, like, have a character arc of, like, good person going to bad in one movie. You know, the Star Wars prequels failed to do it in 3 movies. So, I mean,
that's real.
Why was he so moody in the second one right away? That's just what the problem was. They made him so moody. Okay, it's fine. I ain't going to tell you this. Go ahead.
Don't do it, James. Don't do it. That's how they get you sucked.
I do think, like, you know, there could have been a little bit more about the actual friendship that changed.
Yeah.
D16, like, I thought, like they kind of built up, like, this stuff that he, you know, like, what was his name before Optic?
Orion Pax,
like, he wasn't the best friend. Like, he wasn't a great friend. Like, he really did drag his friend through the mud a lot of times. So there was a lot of reason for D16 to be angry with him.
Absolutely.
And so I don't understand why they didn't use that more as the turning point, you know. But anyway, that, you know, that being said, you know, there was some fun action. There was a lot of fun. Like, I did think Keegan-Michael Key and the Bumblebee get B, whatever, the flip 127 or whatever. I did think that character was super funny. And even though I saw it coming, I still thought the, like, it was, like, cool to have, like, Sentinel be this leader that they all love, but then, like, you know, he was the ultimate villain.
Love. John Hamm.
Yeah, he did a great job too.
I wish they explained who this other alien race was a little bit more.
Yeah, like, I was so confused about
them. Because if we're in a prequel, I guess that must be in the lore of Transformers, right?
It's gotta be. I feel like it's gotta be. However, at the same time, every single time there's, like, they try to explain, like, what these wars are and what these factions are, I'm confused every time. I'm confused every time. I never know what anyone really wants. And I frankly don't get why we banish Megatron at the end of this movie. Like, I don't understand. I don't know what.
Also, like, they haven't defeated the what are the names of the quest, what is it?
Oh, let me look it up again. But also, we don't address them at all. Would have made this we don't address those other aliens at all. They're fighting the
Quintessens.
I gotta look, is that a thing that they do?
But, like, my thing was, like, the Quintessens are like, they didn't just go away. You know, they're the ones who killed most. Like, I understand that Sentinel double crossed the Primes, but the people who actually killed them when the Quintessens, they're still kind of in control. So the idea that they beat Sentinel and they're all good now is, I mean, I know that they're not all good, he says at the end.
But we see that Sentinel deals the kill shot to, like, the. That other alien race was getting the better of them, but then Sentinel ends up doing the kill shot on all of the Primes.
He goes up and
kills and just demolishes them. So he was still, you know, he still needed
No. I had no problem him being the big bad. I just was, it was more kind of like, I didn't understand what the next, like.
I'm watching a video on how they would create it right now.
I don't know. Doesn't really matter, I guess. But anyway, so, I mean, the beginning of this movie.
That's the problem with Transformers for me, at least from my frame of reference, which is pretty much exactly what you described as your history with Transformers. as well. I've maybe seen a couple of the newer animated ones too, but I almost feel like they're just like, this person's bad and it doesn't matter. Like, I feel like they feel like it. They're like, oh, they're bad. You know, like, can it be a little bit more? Can it mean a little bit more?
Well, it's kind of funny. They were like, hey, let's make this like origin story for Megatron and Optimus. And so it won't be like Megatron and the Decepticons are bad and Optimus and the Autobots are good, you know? And it's like, here's the reasons why. But in order to do that, they were like, they still were like, and here's the, so just, here's a race of aliens that they're bad. And it's like, why? Like, why were they invading?
And if Energon just
prime one or whatever.
Yeah, whatever the
prime and if Energon just flows once the Matrix is found, then like, wouldn't it behoove Sentinel to some extent to like, oh, but I guess he couldn't do anything because
the Matrix, the Worthy Prime. Yeah, that's the problem. It just disappeared.
The Worthy Prime was gone. There'll be no Worthy Prime if you're, you know what I mean?
I guess the thing that was also, I mean, we should get into this. Maybe we won't do this in order.
Do what?
Okay.
Exactly. Shoot.
The movie. Well, the reason I'm saying that is because one of the things that confused me the most was what exactly the Quintessence wanted. It seemed like they wanted Energon. Energon?
Yeah, why?
Yeah, they wanted Energon.
Okay. But this is the thing that confused me. When they first get up to the surface, there's organic life there. And when they see organic life, they're like, what is this? Like, they don't know what it is.
Yeah.
They're like, it's not metal. So, which made me go like, right, like this is their planet. Their planet is like not like organic life form, like bio, you know, like what we consider biological creatures. Wouldn't it make the most sense that the Quintessence or whatever they are, like that they're the ones who are organic and brought that stuff there? Like they were trying to transform. But that wasn't right. That wasn't right. Because they also needed Energon.
Bro.
Yeah.
Like, were they robots?
They were both. They were like somehow organic and
They were?
That's what it looked like to me. Because animals. the tentacles seemed like they were correct. Really tentacles, but then everything else seemed, maybe they could have been organic, but then wearing armor. But I thought that they were like a mix of both. That's what I thought it was.
They didn't explain this in the beginning.
No.
And if they did, it went.
Because he played that little video.
Wait, yeah, played the little video.
Let me finish this YouTube video. Because I'm like, I don't know, bro.
So they played this little video in the beginning, basically setting up the lore of, I mean, they're not even called Autobots. What are they called? What are all the robots called?
They were called Prime. The Primes at first, right?
Well, the Primes were the specific robots.
The group of people that Sentinel killed were the Primes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just see. They're called Cybertronians.
Cybertronians. Great.
Because they're on Cybertron. Cybertron
also,
is the
Also, I
world.
Did appreciate. I appreciated what's-his-name's impression of Optimus. I appreciated Chris Hemsworth. Even though, like, it's always annoying when it's, like, just it's an actor and not a voice. Same with both of them, Brian and Chris, where it's, like, we know how this character sounds. And we know that this is them younger, so it's okay that their voice is not what we know it to be. But I appreciated the attempts.
Yeah. So basically, we're on Cybertron. Orion Pax is like looking through art archives.
His name is Optimus Prime. His mama called him Optimus Prime. I'm gonna call him Optimus Prime.
All right. His mama clearly called him Orion Pax.
Yeah. I'm gonna call him. No, what y'all trying to do is call him by his slave name. Okay, my man chooses to call himself Optimus Prime. The best prime name is. So I say we respect.
I don't know where this is coming from.
I was like, why they give him these fake ass names? Just be like, my name is Optimus. My name is like, Megatron has nothing to it. Like, he just made that shit up.
The reason they did it. No, he's Megatron because of Megatronius, who he
used to fantasize. Right.
And the reason they gave them fake names was so that what I think is the best moment of the movie is I am Megatron, you are Optimus Prime. I freaking loved that. That was awesome.
Yeah, I had no problem with that. Okay, here's the thing. We start this movie off. We're in this world where it's illegal to look through history, which should be a signal to every single person living on this planet. We are clearly being controlled and manipulated by the government.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
It's like, why do they think it's illegal to look through historical archives? Why would it ever be illegal to look through history if not for people are trying to hide the real history of what's going on?
Bray, listen, man. Maybe it's late here on the East Coast and I'm a little confused, but I feel like you're trying to say something, but I'm having trouble understanding what you're trying to say. Because I'm like, are you saying that we should be weary to live in a place and time where we can't find the history of how we got to where we are?
If people are trying to distort the history and not teach young people the real history of the world, of their country, if they perhaps, you know, say something like, I'm just going to make something up. If there is like a war and they are like, this war was fought for this reason and that's not the real reason it was fought for, something's up.
Mm.
This is not a political podcast. Listen. Mm. Okay. All right. So he's going through this history. He gets caught. He runs, and then we get this chase scene.
History that he notes always stop. Everything stops at a specific point. You never see anything past a certain point.
Right. Right.
So even when you look at it in the archives, it stops at a specific point.
Yeah.
D16 helps to escape.
They're friends. We understand their dynamic. Orion's always coming up with schemes because he believes that they're more than what they are, which is just miners who mine for Energon.
Mm.
They have to mine for Energon because the Energon has stopped flowing freely because the Primes were killed by the Quintessence? Anyway.
I will literally never look this up.
They were
I'll
killed
never
know.
By... Nope.
Also, are the Quintessence who? Anyway, so this alien race that we don't even understand.
You are correct. It is Quintessence.
If they're biological, or robot, or both, where they came from, why they decided to attack, why they even need Energon, because Energon seems to be so specifically for this, you know, species of people, of mm-hmm. robots. Anyway, but what we do know is that D16 is like, can we just be miners? Stop breaking the rules. Because every time you break the rules, you get demoted.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really told like why the rule, like the rules seem pretty strict. Everybody seems to be kind of okay. Like it's weird. Like life on Cybertron both feels normal, but also seems so oppressive. But like nobody's like that mad about the oppression. Like, nobody even calls it oppression, really?
Nope. No one seems to complain about it.
Even though it seems so obviously oppressive, you know? But I think part of that is because everybody loves and trusts Sentinel, the leader. And that fact that he's constantly risking his life, going to the surface, looking for the master lock key, whatever it's called.
Well, I was just reading that this isn't necessarily in the movie that we just watched.
Oh, Matrix of Leadership.
The Matrix of Leadership. In the U.S. cartoon, the Autobots were descended from a line of robots. The line of robots were created as consumer goods by the Quintessence. So the Quintessence essentially created the robots that became Autobots.
Why could we not get that information in this movie?
I mean, I don't know if it's different now, but
I think movie says that everything is created by that one Prime.
Like, it does. Yeah. It says Prime created all the...
Mm-hmm.
But where did that prime come from? Whatever, it's God. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's get a move on. Who cares? Who cares? Bro, who cares?
Don't.
Black man can't jump. Guys, this is a kids movie. Who cares?
Look, I like this opening. I've already said this, but I like the rendering of pre-Megatron Megatron. I like that he's just sort of like, I think if I follow the rules, everything will be fine.
And you know who else does that? Do y'all think it's... We've reviewed two movies recently in the last couple of weeks. This one and Gladiator. And the villains in those two movies end up like befriending the white hero and then becomes like the villain. But when I see their turn, I'm like James, would you say Megatron, for instance, is a guy who follows the rules and like keeps getting crapped on. And then we find out it is done for the betterment of somebody else. And he's like, nah. He literally goes, no. He got no family. He literally goes, y'all took everything. Nah. Is he bad? He literally is like, no false prophets. He's like, no more false primes. I'm done.
I do not think that this Megatron is quote unquote bad, but I do think that he has rage issues that, if left unchecked, could cause problems.
I call it and passion. I call it passion.
But I don't think that I don't think that what we see in this movie is bad. I really don't.
Eventually he makes a decision that's bad.
Letting go. You mean let him go of Orion,
no,
right?
Yeah. What was he supposed to do? He supposed to do. He was like, hey, yo, bro.
He literally could have pulled him up and it would have been fine.
What do you
fine.
Mean? What is he supposed to do?
He could have pulled him up and it would have been fine. He got shot. But truly,
yeah, he shot him.
And I do think that they justified that moment enough. But up until then, I think every other decision he makes, including killing homeboy. Not that I'm for capital punishment, but I'm fine with him killing. What are they doing to anybody else? We see them slicing up robots
the whole
movie.
This is the stuff that I never understood about the like this like trope of like the person who's the superhero being like, I won't kill the big bad. But it's like, you killed all these other people.
Yes, clearly. He ripped somebody in half. We literally see a shot where Orion ripped somebody in half. So what? How is that?
Exactly. What? What's the difference?
How is it any different?
What? It really is the isn't. Difference? The difference is just that this person goes, I surrender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which to be fair, is a little bit of a difference, but like, not really.
This dude was going to kill them. No, murk him, bro. This is my thing. You put that man back on the street, he gonna keep killing. That's what my president taught me, okay? My president of the United States said, hey, you know
who
that
person... Your incoming president or the current president? Because either one of them could have said it, frankly.
My past and my present president. My past and present said, hey, you know what? If you let this criminal back on the street, all he's going to do is be a criminal again, bring back capital punishment, and you know what Megatron was like? I'm with it. I'm going to take this big old shoddy on my arm 5 seconds. That's how a villain should be, bro. Like, he ain't giving no speeches. He was like, nah, I'm done. Poo-poo.
But then he started shooting up the city. Like,
hey, you got to rebuild, bro. Sometimes you got to burn it down and rebuild
it. At that point, he was Megatron. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. At that point, he was Megatron. And so then now he's fully evil, you know?
Now he's bad. Okay, now he...
His eyes were red.
His eyes were red. Okay, so how did we get here, you ask?
Ain't nobody ask.
Well, yeah, there's one or two people out there.
Ain't nobody asking.
And basically, you know, Orion's got a bunch of plans. One of his plans is to enter them both in a race that they do every year.
Yep.
Yes. But I gotta say, it's after he gets Scarlett Johansson fired in a way that I'm just like, you need to own up to this. I know he said it was all me. I know he said that, but this is not enough. It's not a.
I mean, to be fair, he got her fire, quote unquote, because he saved somebody else's life.
Sure, but he didn't follow the rules the way that Megatron would have followed the rules.
But he saved somebody else's life.
Y'all know my favorite Orion is in Men in Black. It was a cat. And the cat technically right. saved the whole world.
Orion's belt, and it wasn't
saved the whole world. This Orion,
the constellation.
Yep, this Orion, a piece of shit.
But the thing we don't know, yes, he did go back to save Jazz's life.
Friend.
But it got worse in the cave because of what he did to save Jazz's life. And we don't know if Jazz would have died. The protocol would have been to keep going, right?
That's right.
They could have gone. Jazz might have been fine.
No. Jazz was going to die.
Jazz might have been fine.
No. Don't do this. Jazz was going to die. And not only that, there was a moment where he said, Jazz said, just leave me. And he said, just leave me something. And then he said, good idea. And Jazz was like, whoa, don't actually leave me, you freak.
Yeah, they did do that. I do remember that.
So Jazz also was begging for his life. There was nothing wrong with what Orion does here. Now, all what right. is wrong is that Orion pretends to listen to D16 when he's like, we shouldn't enter the race. That's ridiculous. He tells him, hey, I got a secret spot. Just trust me. And D16 trusts him. And he takes him to a place and he's like, wow, this is a great place to watch the race. You did this for me? And then he goes, I did this for us, which to me was like, so you're nice. A dick? First of all, I was just like, if he said you did this for me and you go, you did this for us, to me, that means like, oh, you're selfish because you couldn't just do it for him.
You could have just done it for
him. But you didn't. And then we know why, because he didn't take him there to watch. He took him there so that they would enter the race, which is not what this guy wanted to do. This guy, D16, easily could have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
Easily could have been killed.
Yeah.
They were obviously breaking rules that he knew they were going to get in trouble for. Anyway, they have this whole race. They wind up coming in second place.
They are almost first.
Almost
then
in
they
first.
Are almost second, and then everyone passes them.
Right. And then Sentinel comes in, and at this point, we don't know anything. Sentinel's like, you were great. Miners are super encouraged. You should go on a tour and talk to them about reaching their potential.
I think Sentinel is telling the truth here.
No, I don't think so.
Even after didn't someone else send them down to the like, doesn't Sentinel want the Sentinel wants the miners to
no.
He wants the production to doesn't he?
He wants like, them there's to keep no going.
Reason. Yeah, he wants the
production to be increased, but he does not want these two to be put in any position of leadership where it could turn the miners against him.
Oh, which is what he believes will happen.
Yeah, I think he wanted to play to appear to them as if he was good.
Why? There's no reason.
No, there is. Their reason is, hey, if in case they ever get out, they'll still trust Sentinel, which they did.
But then sense.
That was his downfall.
See that, and there was Sentinel's downfall. That was Sentinel's downfall right there.
Setting them down to the lowest level was their downfall, because that's where when they get down there, they meet B127, played by Keegan-Michael Key, who's really fun. And
great.
And that he winds up finding this little beacon that shows a location on the map of where the Primes sent out a distress call. And
how?
Then they were like,
how?
Let's...
How?
I don't know. It was in Steve.
How?
It was in Steve, Giraffe.
It was in Steve. What? I thought it was just because Steve. Garbage and stuff is being thrown down there, including old records. But if it gets to the point where B is like losing his mind and he creates a little guy, it happens to be that an important beacon was on one of the little guys, because they're destroying all of
yeah,
those.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a kids movie. Who cares, right? It's just like yeah.
A thing that I did find interesting that relates to something Ray was saying earlier about like Optimus being selfish. I did this for us versus you did this for me. I do like that this continues throughout, because shortly after this, where it's like, Orion is like, once they learn that what happened, Megatron calls him selfish. He's like, you're selfish. If you only would have said a lie, you would blah 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 blah. And I just find it interesting that the it's blurry, like who's doing things for themselves versus who's doing things for the masses, you know? Because right. like I'm mm-hmm. falling in line and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. That's better for everybody. I'm breaking out. I'm trying to find the Matrix. That's better for everybody. If we win this race, then that means that miners are good. I'm doing this for us. I'm doing this for everybody. You know.
I thought it was pretty clear that like Orion was mostly doing things for himself, and he said, I mean, he kept saying like we're more than this, but really he meant me. I'm more than this. Like he was dragging D16 along with him, but like. I do feel like he was being pretty self, like all the stuff that he was doing, it wasn't like for the betterment of all Cybertronians. It was for the betterment of himself. Like he was like, I'm more than this. Like we're more than just miners, but that still meant like he still believed that some people were not more than miners. Right. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, maybe not, but like, I kind of liked that, but then I hate it that they didn't use that as the motivation for D16 to be so pissed at him mm-hmm. and then turn on him at some point. I mean, the Sentinel stuff was good, but then there was also like, I don't trust you as a leader. And then, you know, Orion could be like, why don't you trust me? And he's like, are you kidding? Like, every time you've told me to trust you, you've lied to me. You lie to me all the time. You are just like Sentinel. You're just like Sentinel. You're a liar. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
and
good.
He would be
that's
right.
Good. That's good.
He would be. He 1,000% would be.
That's good.
You know? And it's like, oh, well, I'm doing it for good reasons. And it's like, who's to say what's good reason or what's a bad reason? You know?
Took my choice away. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, what we do get is him talking Sentinel in... Sorry, it's talking D16 into doing the next plan because he was like, what if we find the Matrix of Leadership and give it to Sentinel and Sentinel will love us again? And he's like, you're right, that would be cool. So then they go off with B127, who comes up with the plan. And then along the way, they meet up with
Scarjo. Alita.
What does she become?
She has like roller skates and becomes a motorcycle.
Yeah, but she's
what's her?
Yeah, she was what's in her? The Transformers one. She was in the last one. She was hold on one second.
Yeah, but she like her wheels are on her feet and she becomes like a cycle. I think
it's funny that some of them had auto like they transformed their names. Oh, I guess it's because just whoever. But I was like, Jazz is in the movie, but like Bumblebee transforms his name too. You know, they didn't need to do that.
Yeah, they really didn't.
So it was just weird. I was just like, okay, so
I really liked the Badassatron joke.
We have Soundwave and Shockwave, but then we also have B127, who's gonna be Bumblebee. Yeah.
Badassatron killed me every time they did it. And then when he does
it's
it
pronounced
once he's
Badassatron.
I was like, this is they can do no wrong, this joke. Anytime they did it, it made me laugh.
Also, Okay, the surface area stuff is the thing that makes no sense. So they get up to the surface. They get Alita to join them. And while they're on the surface, which is like constantly terraforming for an unknown reason, which I don't think we ever understand why. And did they used to live on the surface? Or were they always not living on the surface?
I thought they did.
I thought they were on the surface.
Yeah, I thought they so, did like, live on the surface, but they now don't.
Did something happen to make the surface like be not what it was? They like never explain this. Anyway,
I can only imagine it's to be closer to the Energon now because it's no longer flowing through the.
Okay, that makes sense.
And maybe it's terraforming in that way because it's now unstable because the Energon core is you know.
Right. They just never say it, but
they never say any of that stuff. Yeah.
All right. So they get up to the surface. They see organic life, which they don't understand why it's there. We don't understand why it's there either. That's never explained. There are also deer robots on the surface.
I don't understand.
That's never explained.
I thought that was
who
funny,
are
though.
These deer? I mean, it was, I guess. Was it funny?
Yeah, the first, when we first see them, it's a joke. And that was funny. It's she's screaming, and then they keep going. They cut wide and cut wide and cut wide, and then the deer look up, and there's just deer robots for no reason. That's the first time we see them as a okay, joke.
I didn't realize that was a joke. I just didn't understand it.
You know, they're, you know, it's like you would do it with actual deer if they were real
sure,
deer.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. I did think it was funny when all the deer started running. And they were like, let's run. They were like, let's run. And they were like, oh, also, when B-127, they're looking in the distance and they see the planet terraforming. They're like, what's that? Is that getting larger or is it getting closer? And then B-127 just starts, without saying anything, just immediately starts running. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
But anyway, we never explain any of that. Then they get to this place. Somehow, some way, Alpha Trion, played by Lawrence Fishburne, is still alive. Who knows how that's possible?
They put one little, all he needs is a little, all right.
Well, they've done this before in the movies.
Yes, that's how they got the old dude in the other one.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, oh, they're not dead. They're just powered down, which is, you know, it's always convenient. Whoever is, somebody conveniently nearby is not dead. They're just powered down.
You know? Okay. So then they give him some Energon. He powers back up. He tells them the whole story.
I have Sentinel's to say, though, bad. I did not like, because I don't like Optimus at this point. I'm just like hating everything that he's done. I didn't like that B, for no reason at all, hands the Energon to Optimus to put into him. Y'all both right there. You can just do it, B. Why are you giving it to him? He ain't nobody. Who is this man? He's done nothing.
Yeah, if anything, he's just screwed everybody over consistently.
Yes.
Constantly coming up with bad plans.
It made me so mad. Oh, okay. All right.
He's not a great, Orion's not a great dude.
No.
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 A robot, whatever you want to call him. Okay. So then they all hear the story.
Yep.
D16's
pissed. I liked this. I don't know if this is in any of the other Transformers, but what I liked about this was they tell the story through sand, and that's a thing that happens in Revenge of the Fallen that makes no sense in Revenge of the Fallen. But they were just like, it's correct. A part of the... And this, they were like, it's a part of the... They've been telling stories through sand since the beginning.
You know who else did that? Black Panther.
They sure did. And then, technically after Revenge of the Fallen.
Whose side you on, James? You got the pick.
Is that in the comics, though? Because then they stole it from... I don't think it is.
No, but yeah, we see the flashback. We see
the micro or nanobots, you know?
We see the robot betray everybody. First off, I'm like, if this robot... What's his name again?
Sentinel.
If Sentinel's not even a prime, how is he just murking primes like this?
I guess because he did it. Like he surprised them.
Bro, some of them was turning around. Man,
he took them by surprise, and they were already outnumbered.
They were already and like they were already fighting a bunch of other things. True. And probably weakened and all that stuff.
I mean, this man took out a bunch of primes.
He took out all the primes, which is wild.
Literally all of them. Himself though, like himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then conveniently, he's like, oh, yeah, the people who really run the show, they just right outside the door. And I was like, y'all niggas never saw them people the whole time. they go outside.
Well, they run into them earlier. They almost got killed by that ship.
I know, but I'm saying like they go out the door and the ship and all of them just sitting there, just chilling. And then at that point, the evil robot come flying in. It is a kids movie. You know what? It's a kids movie. I'm asking the wrong questions.
But a lot of this stuff is the stuff I start not liking. Like a lot of this middle stuff, because we're getting, you know, did they get the energy? They got the cores of the other primes at this point, right? Everybody's getting the cores of the primes. No, not yet. We're not even there yet. Okay.
They get it. They go out there and watch the other prime like, we need more Energon. And then the little spider robot hears them, and then they run back in and get the juice.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And this is pre-Starscream and the other outsiders. Okay, yes. Okay.
Yeah. So basically they hear the story initially. They're like, we don't believe you. then they see for themselves literally Sentinel bowing down to these aliens. They're like, so then they come back and they're just like, I can't believe it, blah 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 blah. And then, you know, what can we even do? We don't even have cogs. And then, you know, what's his name is like, you don't need a cog, but actually you do. Here they are. Right? Like, that's basically what he says. He's like, you don't need a cog. It's in, what's inside you. Also, here are some cogs because you guys need a transport.
This happens twice because this is the thing about Transformers that always confused me is they're just like, it's fine, you know, but it's like, it's not fine. It's not what's inside them. They literally need the cogs. They cannot transform without the cogs. They will not be bigger than themselves, you know, but they're trying to do the message of like, it doesn't matter, you know, yeah. It's what's in, they're trying to do that message, but it. Literally yeah, does matter.
Yeah,
like does no matter. No one transforms without a thing. Like everyone Correct. Needs the thing in order to do it.
Not you know? Only is it that, but if you look at Optimus Prime in particular and Megatron, if you watch them in live action in the old cartoons, they are bigger than everyone else. Like they're Correct. Drastically bigger than yeah. everybody.
That's yeah. why they're the leaders. It's because yeah. they're bigger and stronger.
They're bigger. And they're only bigger because of what's inside them.
The cogs.
And the cogs that's inside them and the prime whatever and the matrix of leadership, all of those things being inside of them is what makes them better than everyone, you know. It's not Correct. Just because they're
that's no.
I did like Starscream being like the head. Like I for some reason
of these, of the rejects. Yeah,
I love that. Also, I love that consistently Starscream's voice is never cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
It is the one yeah. through line. Like Bumblebee, sometimes he can talk, sometimes he can't talk, sometimes he's like talkative, sometimes he's super quiet. But like Starscream always sounds, even when they did Beast Wars, when he's in Beast Wars, he still sounds like that. What's his name?
Had Buscemi done it before? Had he done it before? Or I know that Charlie Adler did it in some of those movies, if not all of the movies. But I thought Steve Buscemi was perfect voice casting for this. It was very funny.
Real quick, let's talk about what we touched on earlier.
The end of the movie?
No, just the fact that they're all transforming into freaking jets and trucks and
tanks.
Cars. And you're like, what the flip is this?
I don't get it. What I also don't get is that Optimus's truck is so much smaller than him. And there's a point in the fight when he transforms into the weird semi truck just to like trip Megatron.
Looks
but
like
it was
toy. Like a toy.
Yeah, it looked like a toy. It was like, why would you do this? Why just trip him with your leg or something? You don't need to become. Yeah, well, yeah, that's why they do. Well, that's it is. This is Hasbro, the Hasbro movie. They selling the toys. That's all they trying to do is sell the toys. And honestly, it does. Most of the movies that they make me want to buy the toys. I get it. I get it. There is an Optimus Prime robot that is fully realistic, looks just like the live action film, and transforms on its own into a truck and then back into a robot on its own. What do you call it? It's one of those remote control type deals. It looks incredible. It looks incredible. I want to buy it.
Mm. I mean. I don't even know what I'm gonna say about this movie.
Yeah, whatever. None of that makes sense, especially because like the whole thing is like Transformers are robots in disguise.
Who did they disguise them from?
They're coming to Earth and they anyway, whatever.
They on their own planet.
But it's like they don't want to do a Transformers movie without people transforming, so they just transform into these vehicles that were created on Earth. Doesn't make any sense. Anyway. All right, so then we what do we got? So then they're like, this is when I guess D16 starts to go bad because he's like, I'm gonna kill him, basically. And like
he should.
Orion's like, all right, well, let's calm down a little bit, right? Like, right, buddy? And he's like, no, I'm not gonna calm down. We should kill him.
He killed all the primes.
He's like, he did this. And he gives a list of reasons. He killed all the primes. Like everyone in my family's dead because of him. We've been working away. I thought you could break the way. He goes through a list.
Yeah.
And
then he beats Starscream in a battle, in a one-on-one battle, because Starscream's like, the only thing that matters is what is what one robot being better than the other one. And he's like, well, let's go. And then he does that. So then now he takes the leadership. But then also they get caught. Who knows how they get caught, but they get caught. And all of them except for Optimus and Alita.
Alita.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get captured.
And half of Starscream's
High Guard or whatever they're called.
The High Guard, yes. Including Shockwave and somebody else.
Can we say how John Hamm brands Brian Tyree?
Oh, that's right. That's true.
Yeah.
It's literally a brand him.
Yes, I'm just saying.
I didn't think about the racial implications of that, but I did think it was cool.
I did think about the racial implications of the fact that, like, the black dude was the evil dude.
The moment.
Yeah.
The moment.
But I don't know.
I think if they would have swapped it. Well, no, I don't think. I think it just had somebody else do it. I think you want it more. Optimus Prime needs a little more, like, gravitas, but I guess they're trying to make him fun and young. So I guess that's why you get a Chris Hemsworth, but
I didn't have any problem with the voice casting per se. But I know that we can't help, especially with this podcast, we can't help but think about what that means from the race standpoint. But they also just didn't do a good job of showing us why Prime was a leader more so than, I think that it literally boils down to the one moment of sacrifice and the one moment of, like, I'm going to let you go. Like, I think it boils down to the one moment right before they step into who we know them to be. And to me, that's the biggest problem with the movie, is that, like, the movie didn't do a great job of showing, like, this is somebody who we know and feel is going to become Optimus Prime, and this is somebody who we know and feel is going to become Megatron. Hmm. Although the stuff that they, again, I've said this 40 times, so I'm sorry to belabor a point, but the stuff that they gave Megatron, I did think was really interesting. You know, I just don't think they did a great job of doling it all out.
I agree with you. I mean, yeah, it's kind of messy. Like, they were trying to do it with this, all this stuff, but it was just like, I guess, like, what happens is, like, D16 just gets power, and then we start to see what he would be like with power. But it would be nice to have seen, like, little snippets of that before. And then Orion, like, he's basically the same guy. And there's nothing really that he does that's more noble and I guess the idea is that he's pushing people to be more and not to just follow the line, and that's why he becomes a leader over, like, Alita and, like, B-127.
I wish he had to learn a lesson. Like, he's just...
That's true.
Like, he learned nothing. Like, he literally
Alita's pep talk, I was furious. When she's like, listen, I'm better than you, but you give people hope. You. The movie opens with, like, Alita being like, I'm one day away from my promotion. I have led you guys through this, that, and the third. I'm a literal leader who has a track record of bringing people up. Anyways, you're the leader? What? What are we talking about?
She says you give people hope, but, like, he's never done that.
Not one person.
No. Well, the one time he did, and I did like this moment.
Oh, the race?
Was the race, because we cut to the audience and they go, those are miners like us. And I did truly like that one part of the race. But I think I think that all of your points of, like, he put D16 in harm's way. He had no real plan as to how they were gonna. It wasn't like, we're going to get through this, and also here's something that we can ride that'll get us through it was like, no,
right.
We're going to figure this very dangerous thing out. That was absurd, you know? So, but I did like that moment of, like, the miners. That one moment was
good,
I thought.
That was, yeah. Agreed. Well, then, so then they have a big, they have a battle. D16 tries to kill Sentinel. Orion gets in the way. He gets shot. He goes falling over a cliff. D16 first, you know, saves him, but then he's like, I'm done saving you, lets him drop.
Because he was dead anyway, you know what I'm saying?
He winds up dead. Yeah, but he winds, He winds up dropping into the core of Primus, of Cybertron. He gets the Matrix of Leadership. He becomes Optimus Prime. Meanwhile, D-16 kills S.H.I.E.L.D. Sentinel takes his core, and he be Cog or whatever. And then he becomes Megatron. And then they battle. Obviously, Optimus wins. And he banishes Megatron from...
Makes you gonna no banish sense. Him, banish? Bro? You gonna banish him, bro? My man just tried to come murk back. You, bro. You gonna banish him? You at already a bad leader. You a bad leader.
And then he goes, and take the high guard with you. What? What?
You sent him off with an army?
I was like, what did the high guard do that you would...
And only a couple of them. Only Shockwave and Starscream and the one-eyed dude came up and tried to stop Optimus, but it was just them. Wasn't nobody else. I would have been like, hey, look, I'm gonna stay. Can I stay? If I was one of the
also, why would you send him with an army?
Also, why would they try to stop Optimus? They literally abandoned Starscream when D-16 beat him. Why wouldn't they immediately go, okay, so now Optimus is the new strong person, so we follow you. Yep. Don't they good. Just follow the strongest person? Isn't that their whole decree?
Truly, they just have them start helping Megatron because they didn't know how else to do
it. Yeah, it made no sense.
They didn't know how else to be like, well, why are they still following Megatron? It's fine. They do. They come and they help. And then they...
All righty. Anyway, I mean, it is fun. There's some fun stuff in here. And I do think B-127 is very funny. Keegan did a great job. Yeah, the end of the movie was whatever, because then they're like, and now, and then he's like talking to the quintessence and he's like, you'll have to deal with me. And it's like, they dealt with literally 10 primes. They knocked them all out. So I think they can deal with you, sir. Now they have Megatron too, perhaps. I don't know. Does he like the quintessence? Who are the quintessence? Whatever. We never find out. That war isn't over. That's for Transformers 2.
We're not getting that because this didn't make enough money. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's a shame. I would watch more of these. They just have to do better. The Transformers movies in general just have to do better. You can't just
people
have warring
this.
Factions
it's
and
hard.
I know, and yes, and people do love them. But when and if I didn't have to talk about this critically, I would have been like, Transformers 1's great. I truly would have just been like, this movie's great. And that's all I would have said. But if I have to think any more about any of these bits, my problem with Transformers, I just would love to know like who everybody is, what they want, why they want it. And then I can watch the movie.
One of the hard things about Transformers, I felt this about all the movies, and I felt the exact same way watching this cartoon. Once they start fighting these big battles, I can't tell who anybody is outside of like Optimus or Megatron, and I don't care what's happening. Like every time they're like, or it's a bunch of people fighting, I'm just like, what's going on?
I care more about Godzilla and King Kong.
Yeah, you've said that on other pods or even just before, Bray, and I've never felt that the same, but this time I really felt it. Like I really was just like, like the fights would happen and then they would do a close up of somebody and I'd be like, oh, that was who that was? Like it was wild. It was wild to me. It just really, like, really hit me this time.
Just like robots getting ripped apart. And I'm just like, I don't know are the good guys winning? Are the bad guys winning? Like, I don't know. And like, they all have names, but like Jazz, I was like, if you told me right now, what does Jazz look like? I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
And I can't tell you if he was even in the fight. Was he in the fight? Did he end up fighting
was he?
Later?
I assume.
I think so. I'm going to look at it.
Okay. All right. Well. And yeah, when there's no Cadillac in the picture, I don't know what Jazz looks like. I know Jazz turns into a Cadillac. That's what I know.
We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not it helps the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. So if we think a film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think it doesn't really help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for Transformers 1. Again, keeping in mind, we're not doing it based on how much we liked it. Okay. Are you guys ready?
The voice actor
I'm
for
not
Jazz
sure,
is actually. A white guy with gold locks.
All right.
Cool.
I'm actually not sure if I'm ready. Can
three?
I have a second? I need a second. Can you give me a second?
I'm going to give you three.
Okay.
Three.
Ooh.
Two. One. Three white palms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's tough because, you know, look.
Not good, not bad.
Yes, it's a two. It's kind of a two-hander, but Chris Hemsworth does have the protagonist role, kind of, even though he actually doesn't really go through any story arc. His story arc is, I become the leader. His story arc is, I want to be the leader. I become the leader. Which, honestly, at the end of the day, isn't that the story of white men? No, I'm just kidding.
You ain't said nothing but a word. It's true.
and then also it didn't do that well financially. So it's a tough one. That being said, it's still, you know, it had Brian Tyree Henry, had Keegan-Michael Key. I think they both did very well.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I struggled because, like, I always say this whenever we talk about a Brian Tyree movie, but I remember seeing him on stage. So I remember before people knew his name. And so anytime he gets opportunities, especially opportunities that are different than the last one, like playing like an iconic role like Megatron, you know, that stuff's exciting. And then Keegan being able to play Bumblebee and have a blast. I almost gave it a fist, but agree with everything that you said, Ray, that like it's just sort of not. Didn't quite do well enough, and these are just voices, you know, so we also I don't know that people are looking at it from the racial standpoint, and I don't know.
Jura?
It was average. I mean, good, not bad. It was average. It's not a bad movie. It wasn't great. It wasn't, my thing is like, if it was really bad, then I'm like, oh, at least you can remember it. Again, bro, what is crazy to me is I was doing nothing but watching this movie. Like, I was eating some snacks, and I don't remember it. Like, I genuinely
don't. What snacks did you eat?
You don't care, Bray.
I just wanted to see if you remember the snacks.
Yeah, do you remember the snacks?
I do remember.
Do you remember what
you ate? I just
wanted
to make sure this isn't, you know.
Well, I went and got
breakfast. A deeper concern.
Well, thank you for caring, because I am getting older and forgetful. I went to a wonderful Brooklyn spot called Brooklyn Blend, is African-American owned. Shout out to y'all. I got a smoothie, got a breakfast wrap.
Like avocado and egg?
It was eggs, avocado, and turkey bacon.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. He fully
had some little spinach in there too. Why was it so healthy?
It was very healthy.
Guys, you know, when you get older, you got to get healthy, you know? Even though I just had some pita before we got on this podcast, but thanks for asking.
Yeah. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and, or sorry, X and Instagram.
It's called Twitter, bro.
Black Men Podcast.
Nice.
Yeah, Twitter. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. Guys, we have a exclusive or a subscription-based podcast, if you will, on Patreon and Red Circle. We do shows every other week. There, $5 a month, you get to listen to all of those episodes. Again, new ones every 2 weeks. We just reviewed The Piano Lesson, and we talked a little bit about our thoughts on some of the Oscar buzz films happening. Award season is going on right now. So, check that out. We have a lot of great episodes on there. Also, if you are in Los Angeles, California, and you like improv, come check us out. We're going to be at Cage Match January 13th, 10 p.m. Yep. at the UCB Theater, defending our title as Astronomy Club. So it's us and some of the other members, lovely ladies of Astronomy Club, very funny. So that'll be fun. I also perform in the Herald team called This Is She. And that's all. Oh, you could follow me at John Braylock. That's all for me.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy, and I have a show at UCB called Inside the Impressions Studio. The first and maybe only show will be February 4th
at 7 p.m.
Check it out. Check it out.
We outside. I don't know, man. I actually have shows to promote. I don't know.
Go
on my IG. I tried to list them. They're very random. But the show you should... March 18th and 19th, But Did You Die at Elysian. I believe tickets will be officially on sale
When this podcast drops, come out. Should be fun. I'm finalizing my openers, so I will announce them soon. It should be a vibe. And come show love. That's it.
You got music, though? You got music.
So I was like, oh, I should have another comedian, but I'm like, fuck that. No, we about to have music. So yeah, bro, I'm having music in this joint.
Music. Okay, you know then I'm definitely coming now.
Today we got music. I'm gonna have one artist one day, another artist the next day. It's gonna be music, bro. We vibing.
Okay,
we outside.
Let's go with the music.
Hey, also, if you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your reviews on the air. That hasn't happened in months, but just go ahead and do that so that we can read your reviews.
Well, I have a review. This is from Jeremiah Miller.
Sounds fake.
Jeremiah Miller. Jeremiah Miller says,
"Wow, Jeremiah Miller,
close to your name."
Interesting.
Jeremiah Miller says, "Hey man, this podcast is fire. More people should listen to it. They don't know about those transitions in the opening, but who am I to judge? Because I don't have a podcast." Jeremiah, leave Bray's openings alone, man. That's crazy.
Sorry, wait, you struggled to come up with the name of the person who reviewed it, but
can you read back the last line?
You read that review so easily.
The last line. I missed the last line. Can you read back the last line?
Accidentally out the window.
You accidentally exited out the window.
You exited out the window. You can't get it back.
We'll leave some.
I can't find it.
You can pull it back up.
Damn, that's crazy. I can't find it no more. I'll talk to Skylar afterwards. He'll find it, and then we can read it again next week.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Happy New Year once more. Peace.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.